This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Friday edition of You Better You Bet, BetQL Audio Network. Mark Malus is in for Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, of course. We're live on the Bet 1430 in Denver, KCBS HD3 in Los Angeles, 105.9 FM HD2, the Bet Chicago's new home for wagertainment. And we're sponsored each and every day by the beautiful people over at Bet River Sportsbook. Download the app in the Apple App Store every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of this month. That's June. Receive a 20% live profit boost by simply logging in to your Bet Rivers account. Spend a lot of the hour number one. We've got three more hours with you, taking it right up until 8 o'clock Eastern time, talking about the NBA. We'll continue that conversation here momentarily, Ken. But how did your Euro 2020 soccer bet play out?
Well, the betting experience in Euro was actually extremely interesting. I think for a lot of people, when we came on the air, it had been scoreless at halftime. Italy scored right before I gave the update about an hour ago to go up 1-0. And for people who are not paying attention, Italy closed a pretty large favorite, and the total closed 2.5. So people who had the total needed a very high scoring second half, obviously, to hit it. And I don't think they were going to get it from Turkey the way the game was playing out. And Italy really, I mean, it was like a demolition, honestly, and they looked excellent for large parts of the second half. Score three goals in the second half. Italy has won the first match of Euro 3-0. Congratulations to people who listen to our show. Nick had the over in that game as his bet for the match yesterday that he gave out as part of the closing segment. So excellent. So congratulations to listeners of the show. Probably everybody had the over. And to Nick, who's, you know, taking Friday off, celebrating his soccer winner. I think he said he was going to like get a haircut and then a manicure or something. I forget, whatever he's doing on Fridays.
Well, Manny Petty.
Awesome. And then now we flipped over the TV to tennis. Nadal up a break in the fourth set. This match is literally, what will last longer? This match or our show? Like, it is entirely possible. This match might have 2 hours left and it's going to be unbelievable. So Nadal and Djokovic in the fourth right now with Nadal down 2-1. So that's our new viewing experience while we do the rest of the show.
All right, let's welcome aboard Brian Geltzeiler right now, founder of HoopsCritic.com. Continue the NBA conversation. Happy Friday, Geltz. Thanks for taking the time this evening.
Oh, my pleasure, Moose. Ken, how we doing, guys?
Doing pretty good. And just right in the middle of these, I think would have been very entertaining now, second round playoff series. All four kind of have something for you if you're an NBA fan or especially a bettor. Obviously, the stuff we talk about on our show, a lot of betting opportunities with player props and just these kind of wild back and forth games we've had in a lot of these series. I want to start with Brooklyn-Milwaukee, what we saw last night in that series. And I can tell you the betting market looked at that game and thought, well, who cares? Brooklyn's going to win anyway. Like, literally, Milwaukee got no extra credit in the market to win the series. They're still, like, plus 300, plus 350 to win the series despite winning Game 3. Did you see anything in that game? I mean, Milwaukee wins the game, but did you see anything in that game that makes you think Milwaukee has a chance to come back in the series?
No way, Ken. Betting market's got it right. I want you to think about how terrible Brooklyn played offensively last night. I don't know that they can.
I'd rather not. Honestly, I'd rather not think about it.
I don't know that they can. They started the game missing bunnies. They finished the game missing bunnies. And what tells you, Bruce Brown was terrific for them offensively and ended up blowing the game for him late. The reason you look at Brooklyn last night and you take that performance as a good omen for things to come as opposed to a bad one, even though they lost the game, is because did any of us believe Brooklyn could guard that way? Oh, my God, was their defense good last night. I looked at Brooklyn, and my biggest fear with Brooklyn is they just weren't going to be able to guard elite teams in the way that they had to. And in some ways, guys, this is going to sound bizarre because he is one of the five best players in the world and a former MVP. It may be a blessing they don't have James Harden right now because they're putting better defenders on the floor. And most nights, last night they didn't, but most nights they're going to get enough offense. But the substitution of Bruce Brown for James Harden in those minutes, listen, he shut Chris Middleton down. Listen, Middleton, he had a couple shots in the first half. He did nothing late in that game. You know, outside of those two late free throws, Brown was terrific on him. And what that has allowed is Kevin Durant to wander a little bit because you don't have to worry about Durant on Middleton. And listen, they're getting by with Griffin and Claxton splitting Giannis right now. And it's worked for him last night. It didn't work early, but Claxton came in and does a nice job on Giannis. So Durant's now hanging by the rim as a legit rim protector blocking shots. And so it's working very well for Brooklyn right now. I would tell you I know exactly why the gambling market did not budge in Milwaukee's favor after that win.
Geltz, when you look ahead to Game 4 on Sunday, Nets right now are a two-point favorite. The total is sitting at 229.5. Do you think offensively we get more of a game indicative of what we saw Games 1 and 2? What about offensive output Game 4 for these two teams?
You know, it's an interesting number because the number is almost inviting. The number is the over-under I'm talking about. It almost invites you to bet the under, right? Because if you look at Game 2 and Game 3, those were both under that number. So you would think that, you know, the under would almost seem like a layup, but we know when it seems too good to be true, normally it is. And I will tell you this, Joe Harris is not going to go 1 of 11 again. Like, you're not going to see that. You're not going to see Kyrie miss the volume of bunnies that he missed. The bunch of shots for Durant earlier in the game didn't fall. Durant had to go into the post to get his buckets. Now, he can get his buckets wherever he needs to get his buckets. You know, he'll get them when he wants to get them, and we saw it last night. But my point is that Brooklyn has a much better offensive performance in them. And Milwaukee was great. Listen, Milwaukee had 30 points in the first quarter and ended up with 86 on the game. They didn't do a wonderful job quarters 2, 3, and 4. And a lot of this is a gross lack of creativity on the offensive end of the floor. It's become the Giannis show. Jrue Holiday just didn't touch the ball enough last night. And you saw what happened when the game was on the line and the ball was in his hands. He went ahead and got the go-ahead basket. It was the game winner. So I don't have a lot of faith in what Milwaukee's doing on the offensive end of the floor right now. With all that said, that over number is interesting. And I got to tell you, I would take Brooklyn to the bank tomorrow night. I really would. I think Brooklyn laying 2.5 is a very good bet for tomorrow night. With the fact that knowing that they're just not good, they can't play as bad offensively. They can't. They're too good. They're too talented to play that poorly on the offensive end of the floor.
Brian, we'll move on to the other series in a second, but one more about this. Just a question about Giannis, because I you know, we live in the age of social media, these shareable video clips, but it's so striking to watch. And I'm sure you've seen that, the one possession against Blake Griffin, where I compared it on Twitter to like those toy cars you had when you were a kid, where you put it on the ground and you wind it back and then it just goes in a random direction, basically. I mean, that's him with the basketball. It's literally like back and forth and back and forth to the free throw line and just trying to create a lane to drive to the basket. And it's awkward to watch. Like, you feel weird watching it. Like, it's just almost kind of embarrassing, really, to watch a player who has back-to-back MVPs kind of play in this way. So just, is this, I guess my question is sort of like, is this more about Budenholzer kind of like doing things with him that put him in a position to succeed? Or is this sort of like a flawed player or both? Or like, how are you kind of assigning blame for this inefficiency in Milwaukee's offense that we're seeing in this series?
Well, listen, it's both. We'll start with Giannis. I mean, that was a weird possession. That's a strange thing to see a player do. But what that's an indication of is in that moment, he felt he had only one way to create a good shot for himself. And that's not really what you'd think for a two-time MVP. You know, guys, you know, you're a two-time MVP because you have a lot of different ways to create a shot for yourself, depending on what the defense does. But Giannis has this habit of losing confidence in parts of his game when the stakes are the highest. We saw it 2 years ago against Toronto. Giannis is a wonderful left hand. he all of a sudden stopped using his left hand around a basket because he missed a couple of bunnies with his left hand. He's fragile that way. And you're seeing it here with his fadeaway jumper. His fadeaway jumper is deadly during the season. He couldn't hit a fadeaway to save his life. He wasn't close on his fadeaways last night. And he immediately loses confidence in that. And all of a sudden, just about getting ahead of steam to get to the basket is all he can really do. I also do blame Budenholzer for some of it because I think that, you know, my radio partner on NBA radio, Sam Mitchell, always says this about Giannis. Why when he's a guy that's deadly 12 to 15 feet and in, why do you hand him the ball 35 feet from the basket and expect him to get to 12 to 15 feet in on his own? When you have other guys, especially a guy like Jrue Holiday, as I mentioned earlier, handles the ball wonderfully, why not make it his mission to get Giannis the ball on the spots that Giannis wants? Is it okay to make life a little bit easier for your two-time MVP? None of that is happening either. So I think there's plenty of blame to go around, Ken.
Gelt, let's head out west. How about the Clippers and Jazz? Can you see Los Angeles getting themselves back into it? They're down two games in the series, and they're heading back home tomorrow for a game three in L.A.
I think they can. I think they're having some issues right now on the offensive end of the floor, which is the big problem. I mean, Mitchell's done what Mitchell's done, and I'm a little surprised that, A, Leonard hasn't been on him more, and B, that Leonard hasn't done a better job when he's been on him. But right now, and this is what you worry about the Clippers a little bit with, one of the things that's ailing them is the fact that the guys they expect to guard really well, Leonard, George, and, you know, to a lesser extent, Marcus Morris, aren't defending well. And that's something that Ty Lue's got to get his arms around. A lot of juggling with his rotation. Lue's kind of throwing crap at the wall, seeing what'll stick, and some of that is breaking some rhythm for them on the defensive end of the floor. Some of that's helping them offensively. We see Reggie Jackson single-handedly wills them back into a game last night, and that's kind of a creative move. Lue took a guy that had played some during the season, wasn't playing early in the playoffs. He injected in there, and Jackson's performed since, and he's found something there. So it's not all bad all the time, but it's hurting them defensively. And I think that if the Clippers are not going to be able to make life tougher for Donovan Mitchell, and that means Kawhi on him, that means PG on him, that means you're going to harass the hell out of him, then that's a little bit of an issue. But and that's going to hurt them. But I'll tell you this, I also think offensively, I would expect Kawhi to do more with Bogdanovich guarding him than what he's done. And I think so much of this is the fact that you have Gobert in the back line at the rim. Kawhi feasted against Dallas going to the rim. He would post up. He'd get himself to the rim routinely. Rudy Gobert doesn't allow that against Utah. So the easy buckets aren't there for the Clippers. So there's multiple problems for them. Could I see them pulling out two in L.A. and getting back to Utah? I could. It's not beyond the realm of possibility. But right now, Utah is a team that they're the walk in the walk, and they have that look of a team that can go to an NBA final.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Brian, you hit on it briefly, and I would love to just go into a little bit further as somebody who bets a lot of player props. This idea of, we saw this narrative emerge in game two, and the telecast picked up on it as well, this idea that Bojan Bogdanovic is this defensive stopper. Somehow this guy was incredibly underrated on the defensive end. Look what he's doing against Kawhi Leonard, like how unheralded. How are we not talking about this a little bit more often? That was everywhere. Telecast, social media, even last night after the game, as Kawhi goes under his point total again by a pretty significant margin. I would imagine in game three, we see something close to 29.5 points for Kawhi, about what we saw in game one and game two. Based on kind of what you've seen, are you buying kind of like that narrative, basically, that theme in the first couple games? Or if I told you his point total was 29.5 in game three, is it more a motivation thing and you would expect him to go over that?
I would expect him to go over that. I think that we saw this in game six of the Dallas series, the Clippers down 3-2. You know, Kawhi's going to try to take some of this on his own shoulders. And it's going to be more mid-range, less around the rim, because, again, he's going to duck Gobert and avoid him. But this is, listen, Bogdanovic is, he's a physical defensive player. He certainly grinds. He certainly doesn't lack for effort. He's not, you know, we're not exactly looking at the next coming of Tony Allen here. And I think we have to put that in some perspective. You know, it's easier to play very tough and strong perimeter defense when Rudy Gobert is behind you. Like, you can do things with Rudy Gobert behind you that you can't do when you don't have Rudy Gobert behind you. And I know they point to the defense that he played in Indiana when he had to guard LeBron in a playoff series and did a decent job there. You have Miles Turner behind him. It's not Rudy Gobert, but it's not John Liver. The guy can play. And say he's a very good defensive player. So a lot of it, Gobert makes everybody better on that end of the floor. And I think that when you talk about Bogdanovic as a defensive stopper, that I think is, that is a stretch to me, but he's been like a defensive stopper because he has the best backline support in the NBA today.
Gelts, we got about 2 minutes left here. How about Sixers Hawks with the series tied up at a game apiece going back down to Atlanta?
You know, listen, it's very interesting with the Hawks because so much that's important for them in this series was important for them in the next series. You know, what Philadelphia did in game two is they decided we have to make life harder for Trae Young. So they went with Simmons on him half the time, Thibodeau on him the other half the time, and it worked well. And I think they'll go back to it. But if that's going to happen, then, geez, Bogdanovic and Herder and Gallinari have to punish them shooting the ball. Young has become a different kind of player than when he first came in the league. He's okay getting the ball out of his hands to shooters. He's not going to try to force things. That's he's really matured in that way. And they have these three dead-eye shooters. And I think so they have to make sure those guys are getting their looks, and those guys have to knock down their looks. And sometimes it's not just about shooting the ball. Sometimes it's about going to the basket. And Bogdanovic is very good at going to the basket. But he'll settle for threes sometimes. So I think you have that situation there. And then the other thing that I think hurts them a little bit here is DeAndre Hunter being out for the series and being out for the playoffs. That really is their best perimeter defender. And I worry about them a little bit defensively. Now, Capella is another one who corrects a lot of things that are wrong for a team defensively. He does a fantastic job back there. But again, having that one really good perimeter defender will help you. Now, listen, for Philly here, it's, you know, from the perimeter, you got one real threat in Curry and Harris as well. But, you know, you don't have to worry about Simmons with that. Without Hunter in there, I would expect Harris to be a big factor. With that said, I do think Philly gets one of these next two and will come back to Philadelphia for a game five. I don't think Atlanta's going to be able to do to them in their own building what they did to the Knicks.
Brian Geltzeiler, HoopsCritic.com, SiriusXM NBA Radio. Hey, Geltz, we appreciate you spending a couple minutes with us here on this Friday. Enjoy the playoffs and have a great weekend, all right?
Always my pleasure, guys. We'll do it again soon. Take care.
There you have it. Giving you good thoughts on Sixers and Hawks. We'll have some selections later on in the Power Hour when you take a look at that series, when you take a look at Denver, and obviously they're down two games
to none
against the Phoenix Suns.
You got bets in those two games tonight?
I do.
Yes. Do you do? Both games or just one?
Yes, both games.
Both games. Okay.
Yes.
I think I'm only, well, I have a lot of props, but only one right now. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe you can talk me into a second one as we go.
Okay. I'm not a huge prop guy, so I don't have many props, but I do have a couple side plays later on. So we'll get into those as well. Give you our thoughts on the weekend. It's You Better You Bet, BetQL Audio Network.
It's You Better You Bet on the BetQL Audio Network. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for real.